Let's dive straight into the word, and then we're going to jump into some worship, okay? So I have a few things I want to say for a few moments, and then we're going to jump right back into musical worship. The psalmist said in Psalm 27, 4, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Let me say that again. "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." I want to talk to you for these brief moments that we have together from a topic entitled "A Heart After One Thing." A heart after one thing. Hey, tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, hold on for a second. I need you to get some energy up in here." Can you look at the neighbor that's got some energy and say, "Neighbor, we need a heart after one thing." After one thing. Hey, have you ever lost something that you desired and you spent a long time seeking after it? Let me keep it real with you all. I always lose things, just always, especially things that I need or desire. So last week I was searching for my keys, and I desired to find them. Well, because if I didn't have them, right, I couldn't take my children to school. My son and my daughter were like, "Dad, we have to get to school. It's 7:30. Class starts at 7:40. We only have 15 minutes, and we're going to be late. Find those keys." So I'm looking everywhere for these doggone keys. Okay, this side feels me. I was looking everywhere for these keys. I went up into the bedroom. My wife, she kills it. Every morning we kill it. We put our bed together. We make it. We have all these things. We have the pillows, like 100 pillows on the bed. We have blankets, all this stuff. We have another blanket on the edge of the bed. I mean, we kill it. We tuck everything away. Well, what did I do? I went up there. I said, "Maybe I left my keys in my bed." Why? I don't know why I would think that. Why would I leave my keys in the bed? So I grab the sheets, the blankets. I pull blankets up, threw them all over the place. Pillows, I'm throwing them all over the place. My wife is just looking at me like I am crazy, y'all. My son and daughter in the background, "Hey, Dad, hurry up. We got to go. Where are the keys?" I'm like, "I don't know where they are." So I ran downstairs. I'm running downstairs. I'm out of breath because, you know, I haven't worked out in a while. And so I'm running downstairs, and I go to my couch because, of course, they're in the couch, right? Nope, not in the couch. So I reach down in the couch and pull cushions up, dig into that crevice. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. It's the crevice where you got the Takis and hot crunchy curls. And, you know, it's got all the candy in there. You find some spare change in there, maybe a dollar bill because, you know, it fell out your pockets. Or maybe the people that came over your house, it fell out of their pockets. And you're like, "Wait a minute, it's a 20 in there?" Anyway, but sidebar. Anyway, so I'm looking all over for the keys, everywhere for the keys. Could not find them. Messed up the bedroom, messed up the living room, went to the kitchen, looked on the counter, wasn't there. In fact, it happened to me today too. Anyway, different discussion for a different day. Where did I find the keys today? I found the keys today in the ignition. It was in the ignition all night long, y'all. All night long. Last week, I found my keys on the hook where I put the keys. I forgot to look on the hook. Didn't even mean to rhyme. Didn't even mean to rhyme. It's just coming out of me right now. Keys on the hook, but I forgot to look. Don't. Somebody say, hey. I hear you. Hey, bars. Anyway, I was all over the place trying to find these keys. I desired to find these keys, so I looked everywhere trying to find these keys. Nothing was going to get in the way of me finding those keys. Don't look at me like that. Please don't look at me like that. Why are you always losing stuff? You lose stuff too. Okay, maybe you don't. But we all lose things from time to time. Maybe it's not keys, but maybe you lost something precious like your cell phone. We can go down that road another day. Here's the point. The value of the thing that we desire will always increase the intensity of our seek. The value of the thing we desire will always increase the intensity of our seek. Another way of saying this is we will seek after that which we desire. We will turn over cushions on the couch seeking what we desire. We'll run up and down the stairs getting tired, getting the workout in low key, seeking after that which we desire. We'll retrace our steps to remember the last place we left that thing. Here's what I've seen with my own eyes, y'all. I've seen a lack of this in the world, of course, but also in the church. I've seen this a lot. To be honest with you, I've seen it in my own walk as well with the Lord at times. And that is a lack of intensity in seeking God. It's almost like we have started to apologize for seeking God. You know what I believe? I believe that when we have a strong desire for God, our pursuit of him intensifies. I believe that when we have a strong desire for God, our pursuit of him intensifies because he becomes more valuable than anything this world can give us. We seek him, our careers, our destinies, our purpose, our friend circles. All of it is put in its proper place when our desire shifts. When our desire shifts, we realign our lives and get our hearts around the most important thing, and that is seeking God. The truth is, when we increase our seek of him, God begins to give us clarity, somebody. Come on, somebody. He gives us clarity around our careers, our destinies, our purposes, and our callings. Increase your seek. Say that with me. Increase your seek. God wants us to desire him. But the question is this morning, what do we desire? Do we desire fame? Do we desire financial freedom? Hey, if you get the financial freedom, don't forget about your boy over here, all right? I'm just saying. Do you desire to ascend the corporate ladder? Do you desire to make an impact in the world? There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when that becomes the one thing that we desire. Can I encourage you this morning, as I encourage myself, to desire him? And once your desire becomes focused on that one thing, your passion to seek God will increase. David said, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." King James Version, I believe, says forever, or all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What does it mean to seek God, though? What does, I hear you, Joshua, but I don't really understand what you're talking about, because I really don't know what it means to seek God. To seek means to search out. It means to passionately pursue. It means to go after it like never before. Let me break it down to you this way. So my wife Samika, when I first met her, it was an interesting engagement. Okay, so let me tell you about how I sought after her. So I'm standing in this space with a bunch of my teammates. You know, I was the big man on campus back then. I'm just going to keep it 100 with you. Meet me on the court and I'm trouble. Last week I messed around and got a triple-double kind of guy. You understand what I'm saying? Like Ice Cube kind of guy. All right, don't listen to that. I'm not promoting you to listen to it. I'm just saying I'm a hip-hop head, okay? So don't get me in trouble. Don't send me an email. I'm not going to return it. Lindsay will. Okay, anyway. So my teammate and I, we were standing on the second floor, and my wife was walking on the first floor. Well, Pops didn't really, shout out to my Pops, it was his birthday yesterday. Pops didn't really teach me like how to engage a woman. Prophet Tawana, he didn't really teach me that. She can't stand when I say that, but it's real. So here's what I did. I was like, man, she, I don't know who that is, but yeah, I said who that. I don't know who that is, but I need to get to know her. And so I told my teammate, hey, bro, hey, who is that? He said, I don't know. Literally said like that. I don't know. I said, why don't you go see who she is for me? He's like, what? I said, go see who she is for me, man. So he's like, all right, okay, I'll do it. All I know, I'm watching him go down the stairs. He walks to my wife. He's talking to her. And I'm like, man, she better not smile at this dude because he can't take her from me. That's mine. See, I want her. I don't even know who she is at the point. I really don't know who she is. Well, he comes back. He says, oh, she's here with friends. She doesn't go to the school. She's single. I'm like, she's single? Bet. Okay, so Facebook had just come out. Like, literally. And I think and somebody did my Facebook page for me. No shame. Anyway, so apparently, I had another classmate who she was with, a guy. And I'm like, bro, we're in a biblical studies class. Don't do this in your Bible classes, preachers. Anyway, I'm like, hey, who is that girl with you? He said, oh, no, that's me, dog. That's me, dog. No. I said, okay, we'll see. Watch and see. We'll see. So he said, all right, whatever. So I'm still seeking after her. And apparently, she went on my Facebook page. I have probably 3.2 pictures on there, literally. 3.2. She liked what she was seeing as she was looking at the pictures. And so I get a call from my guy. He said, hey, this girl, Samika, is wanting to get to know you. I'm like, what? Say less. Okay, we didn't say less back then. What, for real? All right, I'm on my way. So I grab these. This is so random. I grabbed these like cheese balls, like a big dumb tub of cheese balls. Why? I don't know. That was my first date, I guess. This big dumb like bowl of cheese balls. I'm like, why'd I grab the cheese balls out of a, don't grab the cheese balls. Anyway, grab these cheese balls and run to the student center where she is. And I kind of tripped, to be honest. I'm running through the area where she was, and I'm literally tripping. Like I have the big tub of cheese, tripping because I was seeking after her. I wanted to get to know her. I wanted to know her name. I wanted her to be my boo, y'all. I'm just gonna be honest. I just wanted her to be my boo. I sought after her. I went beyond myself. I didn't know what to do when I met her. I'm like, hello, what's your name? She said, Samika. I said, Tamika. She said, oh, my goodness, you got my name wrong. Strike one. I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy, help me. Well, 16 years later, that is my boo. Hey. I sought after her. Come on, cheese balls. Let's go. I sought after her. And this is what it means to seek God. Even we ought to go after God even more than that. To seek means to search out. It means to go after. It means to inquire. It means I'm desperate. It means, as David said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts after thee, O God. I'm desperate for you. It means that I want you more than anything that this world can offer. No title, no agenda, not my fame, not me going viral. None of this even matters. The one thing matters. David said, I have one thing that I desire of the Lord. And that's what I'm going to go after. It is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And to behold, I want to dwell all the days of my life. I want to behold the Lord. I want to inquire in his temple. You see, when we desire him, we seek after him. And then something changes in us. We're changed when we seek God, when we seek after him. And we're going to do that in just a moment through prayer and through worship. But when we seek after him, We encounter him, y'all. We do. When we seek after him, we encounter him. Is there anybody in the room that can testify to the fact that when you sought the Lord, he heard you and you encountered him? Just slip up your hands right there. Slip up your hands right there. And on the count of three, I just want you to say thank you, God, and give him a praise. Can you just do that? One, two, three. Just say thank you, God, and give him a praise. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him praise. This is to testify to the fact that our God meets you right where you are. He changes us. Ellie reminded me a few days ago of James K.A. Smith. He has a great book called You Are What You Love. And he says something about worship that I want us to get. He said, worship is the arena in which God recalibrates our hearts, reforms our desires, rehabituates our loves. Worship isn't just something we do. Hold on, wait a minute. Don't miss this now, because I know you're hungry. You want to go get some Cheetos and chicken from Sodexo because it's Chicken Nugget Tuesday. But before you get there, hear this. Worship isn't just something we do. It's where God does something to us. Worship is the heart of discipleship because it is the gymnasium in which God retrains our hearts. Know this, if you don't know anything else, know this. God changes us when we seek him. When we seek his face, God changes us. But not only that, God also reveals himself to us when we seek him. God gives us a revelation of himself as we seek him. Jeremiah, everybody say Jeremiah. Jeremiah confirms it when he says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me. That is a part of seeking the Lord. And I will show you great and mighty things you don't know. Isaiah tells us when we seek God, we will find him. Listen to what Isaiah says in the text. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, we love to quote Jeremiah 29:11. We love it. God thinks these thoughts towards me. I love it. Like, thoughts of good and not of evil. He's going to bring me to an expected end. But check out Jeremiah 29:13. Here it is. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. I'm not divided. I'm not compromised. I'm not too concerned about what people think about me. I'm not too concerned about all the other stuff, the fleeting things of this life. It doesn't take priority anymore. Oh God, help me, Jesus. It no longer takes priority. My priority is one thing. My desire is one thing. My passion is one thing. If I don't get the job, one thing. If I don't know where I'm going next year, one thing. If I don't go on that mission trip because I don't have the money, one thing. And here's the thing, God will give you the money that you need because you have one thing. If I don't get the wife that I want or the husband that I want, one thing. If that friend circle doesn't let me in, one thing. I'm after one thing. Is there anybody here this morning that's just after one thing? Desperate for the Lord, tired of the show, tired of playing games, tired of playing church. There is a generation, y'all, and I believe it's in this room, that's hungry for the one thing. I know that God wants to move. I know that God wants to move in power, and I'm after him. I'm after the one thing. I'm after the one thing. Here's the bottom line. God desires to be found. I quote this a lot. I know I do. A.W. Tozer. Man, you can come up, actually. Worship Live, come on up. A.W. Tozer says, God waits to be wanted. He desires us more than we desire him. You know, we talk about the seeker-friendly church, but who is the seeker in the text? The Bible says, for the Father seeketh after such, King James Version, to worship him. God is the seeker, and he generates or regenerates our hearts, and he turns our affections, and he recalibrates our attention, and then all of a sudden, our desires change, and our desires become the one thing. Why? Because God wants us to experience him. Well, how do we seek God, Joshua, in these 8 minutes that we have? You can all stand up. How do we seek God? First, we have to understand something, and that is God wants us to experience his glory. I mean, do you really believe that? I mean, I'm asking you that like in a way that's like, can you believe that the God of the universe wants us to experience his glory? Man, that ought to do something to us. There are people, I understand, in this room that you've experienced rejection and pain and hurt because the people that you wanted to experience you, maybe they said, nah, you're not, nope, you can't experience, I don't want to experience you and you can't experience me. God ain't shifty like that. There is no shadow, is what James says, of turning. In other words, he's not shifty. He's faithful. And he wants us to experience him. I was talking to my friend Jake, who's over Upper Room. Shout out to Jake, man. Such a heart for God. Yeah. Shout out to my boy Jake. We were talking about this one thing, and in his amazing way that we kind of chop it up about prayer and revival all the time. And he said, Joshua, do you know that like that John 17:24 prayer is connected to that Psalm 27 prayer of David? What are you talking about, Joshua? I'm glad you asked. You see, when we see Jesus, we see the Father. David said, check this out. Don't miss this now. David said, one thing I desire. Man, I don't even care anymore, y'all. I'm at this place where I just need God, man. I'm just like at this place where I need God. I'm with David. I'm with you, David. David was going through some trouble in Psalm 27, too. And he said, one thing, I'm going through drama. I'm going through pain. We heard the prophetic word yesterday that said there are students in this house. They're tired. They're weary. They're burdened. They're stressed. They're depressed. They're filled with anxiety. And go get help. Please go get help. I believe in therapy and Jesus. And you can take that to the bank. I believe that. But in this moment, what I say to you today is that if you're going through trouble, David was, too. He was, too. He was going through trouble. And he said, Lord, one thing I desire. One thing I desire. And that will I seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. That's what I desire, God. I don't desire to be the coolest. I don't. I don't desire to be the most in vogue. I don't. I'm too old for that anyway. I desire one thing from the Lord, and I'm going to go after it. That's what David said. And Jesus said, all right, bet. It's almost like Jesus said, all right, bet. I got you. I got you, David. See, my Old Testament professor, Dr. William Van Gameren, would say, when you squeeze Jesus, you get the psalmist. You get Deuteronomy. You get Isaiah. When you squeeze Jesus. So he would tell us, so read Psalms, read Deuteronomy, read Isaiah. And when you read those texts, you'll see that Jesus is quoting this all of the time. And Jesus prays this prayer. I believe that he's hearing David in the background. And he said, Father, check this out, what Jesus prayed for us, his disciples. He said, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory. I'm going to say that again, to see my glory. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. God said to Moses, you can't see my glory and live. I'll show you the backside of my presence. But Jesus prays the prayer. He says, there's access now. There's access for us. You're going through trouble and trauma. There's access for us. You're going through drama and pain. There's access for us, Jesus says. I pray that they would see my glory that you've given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. God wants us to experience his glory, but how do we seek his glory? How do we pursue his glory? And I'm sure you can come up with many ways because I'm in a room with a bunch of smart, intellectual, brilliant, amazing college students. I'm sure you can come up with many ways to seek the Lord, but can I just tell you a few? You can seek the Lord through reading, through fasting, through silence, through solitude. And today we're going to seek him for 5 minutes. We're going to seek him through musical worship and through prayer. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to spend some time seeking the Lord. And I'm going to call you up. I'm going to say, hey, if you want to seek the Lord a little bit, you got to take a step, y'all. We got to take a step every once in a while. Sometimes faith demands that we move. It does. Faith demands that we move. So if there's any one-thingers out there, I made up that word. If there are any one-thingers out there that's desiring more of the Lord for the next 5 minutes, we're going to go for broke. We're going to worship God with everything that we have. If that's not you, that's cool. But I'm telling you, don't come up here like, oh, yeah, you're okay, God. No, go for it, all right? So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you, just meet me up here. And I want us to just, for the next 5 minutes, I promise you, 11:40, we're cutting off. But for the next 5 minutes, we're going to worship God with everything that we have. And here's what I can guarantee, that as we pursue the King, as we go after God, what happens is God begins to touch us and move and bless us and encourage us and give us faith for the journey that we need to finish strong. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to come up and just come with your hands lifted and your mouths open and praising God. One, two, three. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's worship our God together. Come on. Let's worship our God. Nope, you're not coming up here for me. You're coming up for God. Lift up your hands. Open up your mouth. Come on. Lift up your hands. Open up your mouth and begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything that I have, everything that I'm not, I want more of the King. Come on, would you just begin to lift him up before we sing any song? Just begin to open up your mouth and worship our God. Worship the King of Kings. Worship the Lord of Lords. He's worthy. Come on, come on. Can you do better than that? Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Hush up. Come on. Yes. Yes, Jesus.